Welcome. When did you ever go to a church when you heard a man stand up and say, if you'll do what I tell you from God's word, I guarantee God will heal you? How many of you have ever heard that? Okay, now, you just heard this man say that. Who is your God? I mean, is he the creator? That's mine. Did your God make the heavens and the earth? Okay, well, we're talking about the same one then. Some of us, we don't realize who he is. And then the second thing, we don't realize who we are in him. Paul told us, he said, you are Christ on the earth. Well, now, when I first read that, that was a mouthful. In other words, when I went to that Plano conference, I had a gentleman that was probably 10 years, I don't know, 20 years almost, my senior, and he's a great man of God. And when I said, is there any questions, this man stood up and he says, I don't see where you get God will send a demon to discipline us. I don't see where you get that when you say he'll send the demon to you, to your husband, to your wife, to your children. He said, I have read that scripture that you give in Matthew 18, 21 through 35 numerous times. And he said, I don't get it. And I said, well, okay. I said, why don't I just read it or quote it for you and you follow along in the word? And so we started quoting Matthew 18 verses 21 through 35. And as we started going through those, we get about halfway through it, and all of a sudden this man, which was almost 18, I guess he was 18 years older than I was, he just jumped, threw his hands up, he said, glory to God, I see it. I see it. He said, I've read that over and over and over. I never saw it till right now. In other words, he just got a revelation from God's word. God says no scriptures of private interpretation, but only as it's revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. I told everybody after that man got a hold of the revelation, I said, now, I don't care what you've got. If you're here tonight and you have a sickness, any kind, a terminal, I don't care what it is. If you will do what I tell you to do from God's word, I guarantee God will heal you. I said, but you got to do it his way. Now, that was the kicker. You know, that was the hard thing for people to do. Of course, like Dave said, he turned over to his wife and said, who does he think he is? He can't guarantee God will do anything. Well, let me tell you, this man don't think who he is. This man knows who he is. This man knows that he's the Son of God. Amen. That he's a joint heir with the King. So if you know those things, if you're a joint heir with the King and you identify with him, you died with him, you arose with him, you're in him and he's in you, and you are a daughter or a king of the universe, and everything that God the Father gave Jesus the Son, Jesus gave it to you and me. So when you get a hold of that, then you can make these statements like this, I guarantee. I can remember the time when a young boy and his wife that worked for us before they got married, his name was Philip. Philip Wren. And I started teaching I'd been teaching in a Baptist church for years. I was a Baptist for 65 years before I finally left the Baptist church 10, 12 years ago. But I finally left because they don't believe the word of God. You know, it offends the Baptists when I tell them that, but I don't do that to offend them. But I remember when I was teaching a Sunday school class, in fact, the Lord spoke to me as the Lord began to give me revelation and wisdom from his word. The Lord himself told me one night on a Friday night, I was studying the word of God to teach a Sunday school class in a Baptist church on Sunday morning. When the Lord spoke to me audibly, now I've heard his audible voice many times, you know, so he does talk. I'm sure some of y'all heard that voice too, but some of you may not, but he does talk. And so he said, son, I want you to lay down your Southern Baptist information and I want you to teach just my word in your church. And I said, wow. I said, Lord, with what you've been showing me, if I start teaching just your word in that church, you're going to have to confirm what I teach with some pretty awesome things or they're going to think I'm crazy. But I said, Lord, you tell me to do it. I know you got a plan, so I'll do it. So anyway, I started teaching the word of God exactly as it's written. There you go. And it wasn't long and after I started teaching, exactly like it's written, that this couple, they called me one Sunday after church, and the mother spoke, and she said, "Thurman, we've never been in a Sunday school class where a teacher talks like you do." But she said, "What you say is in the Bible." And so we need a miracle from God. And I said, "Okay, what do you need?" She said, "Well, our son Philip has got a problem." Said, "Could you come over to our house this afternoon?" It was right after church was over one Sunday, and it was probably 12:30, 1 o'clock. And she said, "Could you come to our house?" I said, "Sure." They live right up here in Justin. And so I just got back in my pickup and I drove up to their house and I walked in and I said, "Well, how can I help y'all?" And she said, "Our son Philip has a problem and we need to see what you can do for him." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Where is he?" And so they went and got this little 8-year-old boy. Actually, he was 11 years old. And when they went and got him, they brought him in, and Philip, he sat down beside me right here at the age of 11. And little Philip, I looked at him and I said, "Boy," I said, "I don't think I ever seen a young man in my life that had so many warts and scars on his body." But Philip had warts in his eyebrows. He had them all across his eyelids. He had them all over his face. He had them up in his nose. He had them all over his mouth, all under his neck. Had them all over his hands, under his fingernails. They'd burned two big rows of warts off the back of his right hand, and there was two huge scars there, and the warts grew right back on top. I mean, he had them on his legs, on his body, on his feet. And when I looked at him, I said, "Gee, son, you've really got lots of them." And he said, "Sir, I hate myself because all the kids at school call me Warty." He said, "I hate being like this. I'd rather be dead." I said, "Well, son, there's something I got to tell you about God right off the start. You got to realize that God is a faith God." Amen. Hebrews 11:6. I want to confirm what I say from where I learned these things. Look at this in Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. Now, is that in the Bible?
Yes, it is.
And I'm sure every one of y'all already knew that. I'm sure everybody here has read that scripture. You had known that Hebrews 11:6 says, "I am a faith God, and without faith it's impossible to please me." So now then, when we go to God and we ask him for something, we have to ask, like Dave said a while ago, we have to use a verse. How do we know it's God's will to do something for us? Well, when I took little Philip, there he sat on the couch beside me, I began to teach him these principles that I'm going to talk to you about today. As I began to teach him these principles and show him where that we have to get rid of sin. We have to repent of all sin. We cannot have unforgiveness or hatred toward someone, bitterness toward nobody. There's only one commandment God give us under the new covenant, and it's real simple. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. Is that what he said?
Amen.
Now, do you think he meant that?
Yes.
So what if you get into bitterness with somebody? What if you get into a little unforgiveness with your mate? What if you get into a little bitterness or unforgiveness towards one of your children? You ain't walking in love, are you? You've broken his rule. And so he won't hear your prayer. So I began to teach Philip and his mom and his dad. Of course, he had a little sister too, but she was real little. I began to teach them these principles. And as we went through all these principles, I began to build Philip's faith and trust in God's word. And I began to show him many of the promises, which I won't go over all of them with y'all, but I'm going to show you. After I built his faith for a couple of hours, I said, "Now, Philip, here's the question. Do you believe that Jesus that I've talked to you about today from the Word can take these warts and scars off of your body?" And I'll never forget what the little 11-year-old boy said. He said, "Mr. Scrivener, after what I've heard you say from that book, I believe Jesus can do anything."
Amen.
Well, now, were we at the right place? We were at the right place. Now, what if he'd have said, "Well, I'm not sure"? Then it's back to the training. We got to have more training. We haven't got through to him yet. He's not gotten the revelation. But I'm going to show you now the verse that I said, now then, Philip, that you believe Jesus can do this, I want to show you the promise he put in his word to guarantee you it's his will to take these warts and scars off your body. We went to Matthew 18:19. Now I want you to see this awesome promise. Now today, the average Christian does not believe this. They say they believe this, but they don't. In other words, this scripture has requirements. The number one, you got to be on earth.
Right.
And there's got to be two of you.
Right.
Is that right?
That's right?
So that's the requirement. So it says there, and again, I say unto you, and of course, you know, this is not just some fly-by-night cowboy writing this book. These words come from Jesus himself. You all know that?
Yep.
Well, this is not some crazy book that you bought off the shelf somewhere. This is what we've got to establish here. This book is the inspired word of the living God. Do we believe that?
Amen.
Okay, now if we don't believe that, we might as well throw it out and start over, but because we have nothing to go on. But if we believe this book is God's holy word, then these promises, if you're his son or daughter, then who are these promises for?
For
you. That's right. He didn't make them for himself. He didn't need them, but he made them for us. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. You know, I've seen people in church that's been in church 20, 30, 40, 50 years that ain't never used that in their life. Haven't you, Jack?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but is it written in the book?
Yes,
it is. It's written.
Now, what did he say? If there's two of us and we're on earth, what did he say we could ask for?
Anything.
I mean, surely not. Surely he didn't mean it, what he said, right?
Anything?
Anything. Now then, let me ask this question. If you believe with all your heart he means what he says, then it'll work for you.
That's right.
If you do not believe that it means what it says, then it won't work for you. Because the Lord said in his word, you must come to me in faith. Is that right? Well, the word of God is faith. That's what it is, because it says faith in Romans 10:17. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by
the word
of God. So the more of the word of God we get in us, the greater our faith. Is that right? So that's why I spent the whole afternoon, that afternoon, a couple hours at least, with Philip, building Philip's faith. Now then, and of course his mom and dad and everything. And so we took that scripture and we knelt on our knees around a table, a little coffee table, and as a Southern Baptist, I knelt there, Philip's there, mom and dad asked them all to get around the table. I said, let's humble ourselves before a righteous and holy God. I said, because we're coming into the throne room of God.
Yes.
Now, is there anything wrong with being on your knees before God?
No.
I think God loves that, don't you?
Yes.
We humble ourselves before him, and I raise my hands, and that's something else that we don't do a lot in some churches, but I have no problem with that, especially since I found it so many times in the Word. I believe that if he tells me to lift holy hands, I think that's what he means. And so I don't want to offend the king, folks. And if I'm not willing to humble myself before him and raise my hands like he said, then I might not get anything from him. But I want to do everything exactly like the king said. Because last time I checked, he's still the boss of the universe. Y'all know that?
Yeah.
Y'all understand that? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And did you know, if he was through with Thurman Scrivener, you know what he would have to do? Just like that psalm we read last week, I command you to turn back into dust. And you know what's going to happen?
Right.
Thurman Scrivener is going to turn back into dust. You know, because God can do anything and everything, and there's nothing hard or impossible with God. We have to get that in our spirit, who he is, because it took me a long time to realize who he was. So anyway, I took those scriptures, and isn't that a wonderful promise?
Yes.
And what did he say? If two of us, then on earth, what can we get?
Anything.
I mean, he said anything. Now then, here's the thing. When we prayed and we stood up, his mother asked me a question. She said, Thurman, when are they going to come off? And I said, well, you know, that's the only thing God doesn't tell me. You know, I didn't see in there where he said, if you pray in one day, I'll take them off. Did he say that?
No.
Did he say in 2 weeks?
No.
No, so do I know when it's going to come off?
No.
No, I don't know. It's totally going to be within God's will for this. And by the way, that young man that was up here a few minutes ago giving you his testimony, Dave Rosenfeld, It took Dave from the time I first told him and we first prayed for him the first time until he was completely, totally healed. It took 20 months for Dave to get completely well. But Dave did that with no doctors, no medicine, no nothing. Just him and Jesus. Now that's where it separates the rubber or from the road or whatever you want to. That's where the rubber meets the road, I guess I should say.
And it didn't cost anything.
That's the whole thing. Jesus paid the total price. We don't have to pay anything. And of course, I believe in with all my heart that with the new healthcare system that they're coming out with, I believe God is driving the church to really learn who the healer is. And it's not the doctors. Now, there's not anything wrong with doctors. You know, I love doctors. I think doctors are wonderful people. In fact, Wendy, would you hold up your hand there for me? Stand up a minute, will you please? I don't mean to call you out, but I got a reason. Now, Dee Dee, I want you to stand up. This young lady right here came to me recently with terminal cancer. And she's a doctor. And it's hard for her to believe God without a doctor, because she is a doctor. But she's believing God now, and she's believing and trusting in God. And after the service is over, after we pray for you, I would like for you to talk with her and see what she's learned, because this young lady is getting completely well now without medicine. So she started trusting God. Praise the Lord. But I would like, Wendy, I would like for you to talk with Dee Dee, since she is a medical doctor, and the hardest thing in the world for her was to say, but Thurman, you mean I can't take medicine, I can't take treatments. I said, not if you really want to see Jesus do a real work. He wants you to trust Him and Him alone.
Amen.
And I'll show you that scripture why I do that. And when she started trusting Him, now she's getting well. Her tumors are going away. And of course, this is her mother, Judy, sitting right there beside. And you're very happy too, aren't you, Judy?
Amen.
But you see, when people first come to me, I mean, it's just like this gentleman sitting right here. Jack, hold up your hand so everybody can see you. A few years ago when Jack Butler came to me, he said, I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I need prayer. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I've got a back issue for several years. I said, okay. I said, what do you do? And he told me it was a contractor. And I said, well, you got to send somewhere that is keeping this back problem on you. He said, what? He said, a sin? I said, yes. He said, Thurman, I've been raised in a Baptist church, and I go to a Baptist church, and I ain't never heard no pastor ever say sickness and sin are directly related. But he said, you did. And I said, well, I've learned that's the truth, Jack. So I said, do you want to be healed? He said, yes. I said, you've been prayed for before? Oh, yeah. I said, well, have you got healed? No. I said, okay, you're not doing it God's way. I said, so the first thing I want you to do is I want you to repent for your sins. And so I said, can you think of anything? Well, he's a businessman. Can you imagine different little things a businessman might do that might not be exactly 100% on the up and up? You see where I'm coming from? Even a Christian businessman, there might be some little something that you're doing wrong, right, Jack?
Right.
And he thought of a few, and so he repented of those few. And then I said, okay, now then, let's take one of these wonderful promises, and I'm going to stand on it for you. And I prayed for him, and I said, now then, Jack, how's it feel? Oh, it still hurts just like it always did. I said, well, take another step. Oh, it still hurts just like it did. I said, well, it's not going to be a miracle healing. It's going to be a healing. I said, Jesus, when He does miracles, you get healed instantly. But I said, you know, just when you walk out the door, just start praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed, because the promise was mine. It was mine. Thurman, He showed me in the Word. I repented of my sins. Now, Lord, thank you that I'm healed and I don't have his back pain anymore. Oh, Lord, I don't have his back pain. Oh, I don't have his back pain anymore. But see, that's believing. Two Sundays later, this man came back, the second time I'd ever seen him in my life. He come back two Sundays later, and when he walked in, he says, I've been looking for this pain for 2 weeks. And he said, it's not there. I said, well, quit looking for it. And he said, well, I've never seen anything like this. I said, well, when did he heal you? He said, I did not get to the car. I did not get to the car till my back pain was gone. And that's been 4 or 5 years ago or something like that, Jack.
Longer than that.
And of course, after he learned that, Jack had another thing, a big old fatty tumor on the back of his hand. For how many years, Jack?
40 years.
40 years had a big old tumor on the back of his hand. They'd prayed for it. They'd done everything. They'd give up. And I told him, I said, we got to break that curse. We've got to take a scripture. We've got to make sure all sins are repented of, and then we stand. And after we start praying, how long? And you have a daughter that had one too, didn't she? But she surgically removed hers, right?
Exactly.
Doc Jack said, I'm not going to let you remove mine. I'm going to let Jesus take mine off. And how long was it after we prayed that thing?
Well, it's you need to get the whole story.
Oh, okay.
I about 6 or 9 months, I prayed for it, and it did not change.
Oh, okay.
And then one day, it was gone.
Oh, okay. So 6 to 9 months.
So, yeah.
In other words, you didn't give up. You just stayed in faith.
Right.
And then, just like Dave, he got healed in 20 months. You got healed in 6 to 9 months. But it didn't happen instantly. But you're back. You almost got healed instantly.
Right. But the thing that I wanted to communicate is, it didn't change. The healing was instant. The prayer was 6 or 9 months.
Oh, okay. So in other words, the big lump was there.
Just as big
as it always was. And all of a sudden you looked at it one day, it's there. And the next day it ain't there.
That's right.
Oh, praise God. God is good, isn't he, Jack?
Praise the Lord.
I love it when we see things. But now with Philip, after we prayed and his mother said, now when are they going to come off? I said, her name was Sini. And I said, Sini, I don't know. That's the only thing God don't tell me is when. Now, I nowhere in his word do I find a place where he tells me that he'll do it right then. Now, he does tell me several places as I speak with my mouth. If I believe it, it'll happen. And so we can make things happen a lot quicker if we learn to talk right, according to God's word. But anyway, I told the mother, I said, you know, I'm going to guarantee you, ma'am, within a few days to a few weeks, if you stay in faith with me with no doubt in your heart, I'm going to guarantee you that Philip's warts and scars will go away. Now, a lot of people can believe for a wart to go away, but when you add that scar to two big old scars, everybody knows, you know, hey, then scars don't go. Give me a break there. Maybe Jesus can take off the warts, but how about them two big scars? Well, I don't know about you, but my King, he made the universe. Is that yours?
Yeah.
I mean, he can do anything. So, I mean, when I step out and guarantee something he said, now, how can I guarantee that? What did he say there? What did the King say? And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth. Now, there was five of us counting the little sister. There was me and Philip. And if just he and I agree, that's two of us, right? Now, if mom agrees too, we got three. And if dad agreed too, we got four. And if the little daughter, if she agrees, that's five. So we got five. So, but Jesus said we only need how many?
Two.
And we had to be where? On earth. So, and we were there. We were knelt in the living room of their home that day. So we were on earth and we were five. And so we agreed in prayer. So after using that wonderful promise, when she said, when are they going to come off? I said, that's the only thing God doesn't tell me is when. But I said, I guarantee you that if you will stay in faith with me and your confession is right, thank you, Lord, the warts and scars are gone in the name of Jesus. I said, don't go out tomorrow and look and you see them. And if they're still there, don't say, well, this didn't work. Now, you know, that's what happens to us. And when we say that, we lose our miracle. The minute we say, oh, well, I guess it ain't going to work for me. Well, it worked for that other guy down there, but it ain't going to work for you, Jack. You know, I mean, but it will work for you, won't it? Jack has learned that now. And so I told her, I said, now there's something else I will guarantee you also, that when I walk out of this door, there's going to be a little critter that's going to come in here. And he's going to jump up on your shoulder and he's going to say, you don't think just because that old gray-headed man came over here and spoke a few words into the atmosphere that them warts and scars that Philip's had for 8 years, remember, you've taken him to the doctor, they burned him off his right hand, left two big rows of scars. You don't really think just because he prayed those warts are going to come off. Amen. And I said, when that happens, now who do you think that might be? Our little friend? That we call him the devil and his demons, is that right?
Yes.
See, he's doing everything he can to get you not to believe the promises of God.
That's true.
And he's really, really good at what he does. Isn't he, Gracie?
He's had a lot of practice.
He's really good. Yes, he's had lots of practice. He's really good. But I said, I will guarantee you on the word of the living God, because I got the guarantee right there, that if you will stay in faith with me in a few days to a few weeks, I said, Philip will not have a wart or a scar on his body nowhere. I guarantee it. Well, you don't run into many people that'll guarantee God's word. But if I can't guarantee God's word, how can I think that I could guarantee some work that I could do? I mean, if I were to build, I used to build houses a little bit, but if I were to build somebody a house and I said, you know, I'll build you this house, but there ain't no guarantee goes with it. I mean, the front door may fall off the first time you open it, or the roof may cave in the first time it rains, or whatever. Now, how many of y'all is going to let me build you a house?
Nobody.
Nobody. Y'all not that dumb, are you? You're going to say, who is this dummy? Who does he think he is? He tells me he's going to build me a house with no guarantee? Well, I don't want that guy building no house for me. And then we take God's word, and he makes us all these promises, and we do not guarantee him. So I don't think it makes the king happy. When he makes us a promise and we don't believe him, I really don't think he's very happy at all. And so, anyway, I told her that this would happen. I said, and when that happens, and that little creature speaks in your ear, I said, you go over there and you open God's word and you say, Mr. Devil, I want you to see right here the promise that God gave me in Matthew 18:19. It is written. Now, are you standing on safe ground when you start quoting, it is written?
Yes.
Yes, you are. You're on very safe ground. Well, the next morning, I had no idea what was going to happen or how God's going to do it. All I did was what he told me to do. And as the church, he tells us to go and build people's faith and pray, right?
Amen.
That's what he, and then he does the rest. So you're off the hook. Once you do that part and you do it in faith, then it's up to him to do it whatever time frame he wants to. Well, the next morning, mother goes in about 7 or 8 o'clock to check her little 11-year-old son. And when she goes in there, now remember, this is a Baptist mother, and she ain't never seen a miracle or a healing in her life. So she goes in there, and she looks at little Philip, and the first place she looks is his hands. And on his hands, under his fingernails, all the warts on his whole hands and everything are completely gone overnight. Well, now let me tell you what, that mother is beginning to get happy. Well, at the third week later, I saw her at church that Sunday morning. And when she come in, I have never seen a tall, skinny Baptist mother come into church. Woo, praise the Lord. I mean, I thought, whoa, what's this girl doing? She said, she was dancing. I mean, she was, praise, Thurman, come over here. I said, what's going on? She said, I want you to look at Philip. 3 weeks later, she said, look at Philip, look at him. She said, there's not a single wart on his body, nowhere. They're all gone, all of them on his face, on his hands, in his arms, on his chest, on his legs. She said, there is not a wart on his body, nowhere. But there's only 2 big scars left on the back of his right hand. I said, Mama, don't stop believing now. And by next Sunday, I can guarantee you there will not be even a scar on his body.
Hallelujah.
And somebody says, well, how, you just put a time frame on this one. I did. I was led by the Spirit of God. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, you do exactly what the Lord tells you. So, and she said, how can you guarantee it'll be gone by next week? I said, because Mark 11:23 makes me an awesome promise. Now, I want y'all to see what Mark 11:23 says. I mean, the Word of God is full of these kind of awesome promises. For verily or truly I say unto you, now this is Jesus talking again, ladies and gentlemen, that whosoever, how many of us in this room does that include?
Every one of us.
I mean, that includes me, I guarantee you. I mean, and it's supposed to be all of us, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's almost a mouthful, isn't it? Is that almost a mouthful?
Yeah.
I mean, see, you know that Jesus didn't say that if you speak to that tree limb and command the tree limb to break off and fall off, it'll happen. Not because something might have come along, a big wind or something might have blew the limb off, you know, and it might have been broken, whatever. But he said something that was beyond our ability to do. Speak to a mountain. Now, that mountain can be cancer, Wendy. That mountain can be anything. And for Dee Dee, it was cancer. I mean, but a mountain can be anything. In other words, this young couple sitting up here on the front, Michael and Gracie. When they first started coming to this church last year, they had never seen these kind of things either. And he's out there working on their house one day, trying to redo their bathroom. And all of a sudden, I think it was about noon or something, he just gets up and said, "Gracie, I'm done. I'm done." He said, "My back's killing me. I can't work no more." And then this sweet little wife of his said, "You know what the pastor told us in Matthew 18, 19? If just two of us on earth agreed about anything, he would do it. Yep. Isn't it wonderful to be married to a sweet little faith girl?"
Amen.
So they prayed. And Michael was dying with back pain. And the very minute they prayed and used Matthew 18, 19 and thanked the Lord for healing, what happened to your back, Michael?
Instantly healed.
Instantly healed. He never had back trouble since. He's a mechanic. He lifts stuff all the time. He picks up cars, you know. I mean, he does all kinds of stuff. He's a big, strong man. He is strong, but he's not had a back pain since. But they learn from God's word that Matthew 18, 19 says, if two of them on earth agree about anything, it's done. And it was them. And you see, for him, it happened instantly. And from that day on, they have used those promises in God's word. I couldn't tell you how many answers to prayer they've had if I stayed here the rest of the day. But you've learned that the word of God works, right, Michael?
Amen.
Isn't that it, what, honey?
Oh,
yeah. In fact, the boy back there, the young man back there doing the camera, he's had back troubles for a long time. That's Cheryl's son named Scott. And he was really hurting in his back one day. They were standing right back in the back talking after church. And Mike said, "What?
It's
the dinner, whatever." And Mike said, "Why don't I pray for you? I mean, see, here's the boys learned how to pray." So he said, "Why don't I pray for you?" So he got when his wife prayed for him, he got his back healed. So he knows that God is no respecter of persons. He has faith now. And so he laid hands on Scott and prayed for him. And I don't think Scott's had a pain since. Have you, Scott?
No, sir.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You know, now God is so awesome. Yes, Jack?
Philip told me one time long before you prayed for him that they went to the doctor to have some warts burned off.
Yeah.
And they gave him a pen and said, "Mark these and count them so we'll know." Well, they came back in a little while and they said, "How many have you counted?" "Just on his arm so far." He said 350. They said, "Oh, stop. We can't take that many off."
Isn't that something? That was just on his arms. I know the boy had warts on all over his body. But anyway, after 3 weeks, after we used Matthew 18, 19, after we got their sins confessed, and when we built their faith and we prayed, we began to praise and thank the Lord for taking off all of his warts. And of course, in 3 weeks, Philip didn't have a wart on his body nowhere. And then, of course, when I made that statement, when I did, I said, "Well, now, Mother, if you'll stay in faith with me next Sunday when you come to church, I will guarantee you Philip will not have a wart anywhere on his body. Not have a scar." And she said, "Well, how can you guarantee that?" I said, "Because Jesus made me an awesome promise in Mark 11, 23. Jesus, let's just read the bottom part of that. He says there, "But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So here's the thing that we say as Christians, since we don't know the promises of God, we'll say, "I don't feel good. I really don't feel good today. Well, I'm kind of dizzy and everything else. You know, wow, maybe you better take me to the doctor." So on the way to the doctor is saying, "What do you think you have?" I mean, the enemy is saying, "What do you think you have? Do you think maybe you're having kidney failure? Maybe you think you're having an attack of whatever? Do you think maybe that you're having a cancer attack?" Oh, my goodness. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor does all these tests, and they come out and say, "I'm sorry, you have certain cancer, stage 3 or 4 or 2 or whatever it is." And then what do we do? First thing we do is go call everybody. "Oh, one of my good friends, I got cancer in the worst way. Will you please pray for me?" "I got cancer in the worst way. Will you please pray for me?" That's the worst thing in the world we can do. We're claiming the cancer. You know, what we should do, we should start claiming what the Word of God says. "I'm a daughter of the King of the universe. I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I mean, Lord, You said, what things soever I say, it shall come to pass. I shall have whatsoever I say. Lord, I am perfectly well. I am young. I am strong. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's how I speak those kind of things all the time over this 74-year-old body. And this 74-year-old body acts like a 40-year-old body.
Amen.
I work it all the time just like it's a 40-year-old body. I see no difference right now in my body and what I could do. In fact, I got tickled the other day. A guy I used to work with years ago, he was out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he turned the TV on, and it says, Pastor Thurman Scrivener is going to come on teaching from the healing scriptures from the Living Savior Ministries. He said, Thurman Scrivener. He said, I worked with a guy named Thurman Scrivener in Houston 30 years ago. It couldn't be the same guy. But he said, I thought, well, I'm going to wait and see who this is. And he said, there you came. And he said, I looked at him and said, oh my gosh, that's the same Thurman 30 years. He ain't changed a bit. Well, now, if I went around saying, I'm so old. Oh, I just can't believe how old I'm getting. Oh, look at the wrinkles coming up on my face. Oh, I'm so old. Do you know that we talk like that?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we talk like that. Here the other day, I forget where Cheryl and I was. We were somewhere. Maybe it was the last healing school we had. Having another one, by the way, next Saturday. Yeah. And so anyway, one of the ladies, or three or four of the ladies that were back there. Oh, I know it was. It's when we were in California last week. One of the ladies said, how are you doing, Pastor? I said, I am absolutely magnificently wonderful, young lady. And she just laughed out loud. I said, but I'm rapidly improving. And boy, she really laughed out loud then. She said, I know why you're always in such good shape. If that scripture says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I'll have it.
Yes.
What do you think I'm going to go around saying? I'm old. I'm wore out. I can't do nothing. No, I'm going to go around saying, thank you, Lord, that I'm 40 years old. You renewed my youth like the eagles. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In fact, Jeff knows that Philippians 4:13 is one of my favorite verses. And that verse, in fact, flip that over there, Dave. Philippians 4:13. I want you to see, I can do some things through Christ.
Yeah, right. Yeah, get out of town.
What does that verse say? I can do. Now, how many Christians believe that?
Very few.
Well, I mean, isn't that so sad that we got this awesome book, and I have been using this book to stay in divine health for the last 30 or 35 years. I've had very, very little problems in the last 35 years. I mean, very little. Compared to the first 35 years of my life, I had a lot of problems. I was down in my back like Jack, only I was worse. I was down 6 or 8 times. You know, I had double pneumonia a couple of times. I had all kinds of things. Of course, I used to have the flu every year, sometimes twice a year, because every time fall would come in, it started getting cool weather. I'd say, well, it's about time for the flu season again. I guess I'll come down with the flu. And guess what happened?
Yeah.
I come down with the flu. You know, I had no idea. I'd never been taught the principles of what I say. If I believe with my heart, I'm going to have it. So, of course, when I said, well, it's flu time again, I guess I'll have it. And then when I get it, yeah, just what I thought. Well, how long do you think you're going to have it? I said, well, usually it lasts 2 to 3 weeks, sometimes 4. But so I'll get over it in 3 or 4 weeks. And so 3 or 4 weeks later, it all went away, you know. And then if somebody said, well, do you have the flu yet? I said, yeah, I had it once. Praise God, I hope I don't have it again. But you can't ever tell. I might get it twice. And, of course, 2 or 3 weeks later, I start sniffles again. I thought, wow. Well, I will have to say when I learn that not to say that I don't have that no more. I have not, praise God, I have not had the flu in 35 years. And you talk about taking a flu shot, forget that. I wouldn't take a flu shot. I mean, there is no medication. I mean, I don't take any kind of medication. I don't take aspirin, Anacin, nothing. I would not go to the doctor and let a doctor put a shot of nothing in this body, this temple that God's given me, under no conditions. I would never do it. Because I realize that Jesus has made me all these wonderful promises. And now I want to take you to an awesome promise that God said in His Word. And we've seen many people healed of cancer with this one verse. James 5, 14, 15, and 16. I want you to see this. Now, if the church believed this, we would need Nobody but Jesus.
Amen.
Is that right, Jack?
Yes.
But I mean, if the church does not believe this, you know, we'll read this and say, well, maybe it's not God's will to do it for me. Well, I mean, you just ruined it right there, because let's see what he said. He said, is any sick among you? Now, how many of us does that leave out? Is there any of us excluded from that? In other words, if any of us is sick, if there's one of us sick or five of us sick or none of us sick, but he says, in other words, the way I kind of read that, he says, is any sick among you? Really, he's trying to say, I don't think anybody should be sick among y'all. But just in case there is, in case one of you is not where you need to be in faith, if you are sick, well then here, this is the answer. Now this is the way I look at this. Is any sick among you, let him or her call for the elders of the church. Now then, this is a problem. You have to have some elders that believe. In other words, when you go in and if you've got some elders there and you say, you look like an elder of the church. How long have you been in the church? Oh, I've been 30 years. Okay, you're an elder. I'm sick. Would you anoint me as well and pray for me? Well, I'm not sure that God will do it, but we'll try it and see how it works.
Oh, yeah, right.
you know what you're going to get? You ain't going to get nothing. God's not that kind of God. He is not that kind of God. He says here, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, so far that doesn't sound very difficult, does it? It doesn't sound difficult at all. And the prayer of faith, now this is where it gets sticky. The prayer of faith, not the prayer of unbelief, but the prayer of faith. You have to have people. Many times, in fact, I went down to close to Houston, College Station, and taught these principles probably 10 years ago, and to a Catholic church. And when I got through teaching these principles, the Catholic priest, he said, I use that scripture right there many times, and I've never seen anybody healed with that verse, never. But he said, today I learned why. Because he said, we always say, Lord, if it be your will.
Yeah, right.
Now, did you see anywhere in here where he said, if it's his will?
No.
What did he say? He says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall
save
the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I don't know about you, but I love that verse, don't you? Now, in the church, if that's the only promise we had, every sick person in the church should be healed if we got a pastor that believes these promises and a board of elders that believe these promises. But the problem is, I mean, I have been to several other churches in my life. And as I learned these principles, and I've been invited to pray with people over other people, and almost every case when I walk in and they're getting ready to pray, my question to the elders and the pastor is, I said, when we pray, is he going to be healed, or she, whoever we're praying for? And they'll immediately jump up and say, well, Thurman, if it's God's will, he'll be healed.
Yeah, right.
Well, I say, you know, I ain't going to have no part in this. They said, why? I said, because he or she's not going to be healed. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
I mean, if they tell me after I read a promise like that, in other words, if I were to make you a promise and say, here, I've been down to the bank and I got a bank deposit slip right here and I put $10,000 in the bank account in your name and here's a receipt. You can go draw money up till the $10,000.
If it be God's will.
And you throw it in the trash. And as you walk out, I'm looking at you. I thought, what's wrong with that person? That person's saying, who does he think I am? Does he think I'm going to believe that he has $10,000 and he put $10,000 in my account? I said, he's crazy. You know, Thurman, he's not a rich man, but you never can't ever tell what might have happened. You know, something might have happened and I come into a lot of money. you know, everybody's got a day that your ship comes in, right? And so maybe my ship came in, you know, and so I wanted to bless you. And so I went down and I really did put $10,000 in your bank, and I give you the deposit slip and everything, made out in your name with a number on it and everything. And I say, this is yours. And you look at it and it says your name, $10,000 deposit. And you say, just crumple it up and throw it in the trash and walk off. That's what we do with the book.
Exactly what we do.
That's exactly what we do with the Word of God. Jesus said, is any sick among you? Now then, what if I were the king? Now then, when I stand here and proclaim his word, who is standing right here in me?
The king.
That's exactly right. He's in you. Is that right?
Amen.
I mean, if we believe the word of God, he's in us.
Right.
We can never be separated from him. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that right?
Amen.
That was a mystery. It was hidden before the foundations were, according to Colossians 1:26. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Right.
Now then, let's see the next verse, verse 16. Let's see what it says. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, all of us men that are men in the church, we should see ourselves as righteous men.
Absolutely.
Because when Jesus saved us and came inside of us, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Is that right?
That's exactly what it says.
Now then, if that's what it says, I believe I am being made the righteousness of God in Christ. And I'm believing that one day, if I continue to work on the Word, the day will come when me and Jesus will be almost the same, because he's in me and I'm in him, and I learn his word. And when I speak his word exactly like he says, who's going to make it all come to pass?
Jesus.
Jesus, not Thurman, but Jesus. But that same Jesus is in each one of us, is he not?
Yes.
I mean, we fail to identify ourselves as sons and daughters of God. We don't see that. Now, let me show you, when we pray this prayer, I mean, just think, ladies and gentlemen, Dee Dee, since you're well on the way with your healing, is that a guarantee to you, young lady, to be healed?
Yes.
And can it fail?
No.
It can if you do it his way. That's right. You're absolutely right. And of course, Dee Dee's on her way to her healing. Her tumors are getting smaller all the time. Now, I wish Weston Blair was here. Weston is usually here, but him and his wife had to go to California to see their children. Weston is a PhD, and he's not a seminary professor. He is a Baptist pastor, but he is University of Texas professor. That's what I'm trying to say. And he has a PhD. When Weston came to me 6 or 7 or 8 years ago, whatever it was, he also had been diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer. I told him, I said, Weston, there's two things in men that bring cancer in men in their later years. He was 65 or so years old at that time. I told him, I said, the thing I have learned that brings cancer in men is breaking the first commandment.
Right.
Now, the first commandment says you're to have no other gods before me. Is that what it says?
Exactly what it says.
Do we know what that means, to have no other gods before me? I don't think we really do understand that. I think we think going to church on Sunday is putting God first and then never picking up his word the rest of the week. But that's not what it means. It means being with him. It's like a young couple when they first get married. You know, they can't keep their hands off each other. I mean, she wants to be right over here. He wants that girl. Oh, and he's always kissing her on the cheek. Y'all know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it was when we were young, when we first got married, right?
Right.
You know, well, I think that's what God wants us to do with him all the time. I think he wants us to be in his word and put him first. And so I told Weston, I said, he said, well, Thurman, I'm a Baptist preacher. And he said, I may be a professor of the University of Texas, but he said, I'm also a Baptist preacher. And he said, I'm in the word a lot. I said, okay, then that's probably not your problem. I said, so the second thing that causes cancer in men is unforgiveness. Oh, my goodness, unforgiveness. I said, yes. Oh, he said, man, I got unforgiveness toward 3 or 4 guys, but said the main one that I have unforgiveness toward is my dad. He said, my dad used to come in drunk and he'd tackle my mother and throw her on the floor and pound her in the face with his fist. He said, I hated my mother, my daddy, for beating my mother. Well, can you associate with that? I never saw anything like that in my life. I never saw my dad raise a hand against my mother. I never heard my dad and mother make a cross word toward each other in all the years they were married. But they were a wonderful, loving couple. And of course, we had no sickness in our family either, very little. We didn't have no sickness, my sister was never sick. My sister today is 83 years old. I'm 74 years old, and she's in as good a health today as I am. And she's 83. We were raised in a home of a man and a woman that knew how to walk in God's love. And it carried over to us. And so when you see that and you see how God works, and then you learn that unforgiveness, in fact, that scripture in Matthew 18, 21 through 35 clearly says, in fact, let's go there right quick. Let's go to Matthew 18, 21 through 35. It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now, wait a minute. Anybody that something, if you come to me and slap me in the face seven times in a day, I think if I forgive you seven times one day, that ought to be enough, don't you?
I agree, yes.
You'd even agree with that. But that's not Jesus's answer. Jesus didn't say that. Peter thought that would be safe ground because I don't think I ever met a man that could do that seven times in one day. You see what I mean? At one time, maybe, twice, maybe, but the third time, bam, going to be a fist fight. That's probably the way it works. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's the way we're made. But Jesus said it's so important. He says there, he said, Jesus said unto him, verse 22, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now that's 490 times. If we ever get that message out to the church, there will never be another divorce in the church. Never, ever, ever. Could never be another divorce if we can walk like this. But let's see why it's so important. Let's go on down to the next verse. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's about $4 billion today. But verse 25 and 26. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife to be sold, and his children to be sold, and all that he had in payment to be made. Now, who was going to pay the price?
Everybody
and everything you have in your physical kingdom. Every asset you have. You, your wife, your children, everything. Said, that servant therefore fell down and worshiped the Lord, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Now, he knew he couldn't pay that, but he worshiped him. And verse 27 and 28, he said, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. This is a picture of mine and your debt that we owe Jesus, owe the Father, for our sins. This is how wicked we are. But he says, when we ask him to forgive us, he does. But the same servant, that's us now, we went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which is about $3,000. And then he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. I just stand in awe to think about this man that's just been forgiven his huge debt. Now he's got his hands around a man's throat and he's choking him. And let's see what the man does. He said, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all, just like the other guy did. But he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Wow, 31 and 32. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O you wicked servant. Now you got to remember, when we're out of touch with God, we're out of that love walk, what does he call us?
Wicked.
Woo. When you start reading the Bible and see what happened to the wicked, it's got some terrible things in there that happens to the wicked. And he says, well, after he had called him, said, oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Verse 33 and 34. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth or angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, the master delivered this guy to, who do you think the tormentors are? Satan and his host of demons. That's who he's talking about there. Most people today would never dream that God would turn us over to the devil. But right here is a scripture in the New Covenant that says he will do that. And he says, verse 35. And he says, Jesus said, likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So since we've learned this principle from God's word, we have learned that you can take a man and he gets into unforgiveness. Now then his wife comes down with terminal cancer. Somebody says, this don't make any sense. But who all was going to have to pay the price here? The whole family. I mean, that's just like one time I was asked by a grandmother to go down to Cook's Medical Center, and she had a 15-year-old grandson down there, and he had terminal cancer at 15. I mean, the human body at 15 should not have cancer. But since I've learned it's a spiritual issue, well, I told the grandmother, I said, yes, I'll go and minister to him. So I went down there, and when I got there, the daddy was there, and I said, and the doctor had just given him a chemo treatment, and he wouldn't let me touch him, wouldn't even let me lay my hands on the bed or anything. And I said, well, I want to pray for the boy. But I said, before I do, I said, where is your wife? And the man says, well, we're not getting along too well right now. I said, oh. I said, you two are in an unforgiveness toward each other? And he said, well, yeah, I did some things she doesn't like, and so we're not talking. And I said, your unforgiveness has opened the door to the demons, and your son has got terminal cancer because of y'all's sin. Now, this is a new one on them. Most people have never thought about this. But did Jesus say the father, the wife, the children, the assets are all going to pay the price for this sin? That's what he said, and that's what he meant. And so he sent a demon to God the Father, sent a demon to the little boy to attack him with cancer to try to get the mother and the father's mind off of their problems. You see that? But they didn't. So the boy's in the hospital with terrible cancer. And I asked the doctor after he'd given him the treatment, I said, Doc, what do you think his chances are? He said, not good. Not good at all. He said, he may not make it. So I looked at the man and I said, sir, can you call your wife and have her come down here and tell her that this boy may not make it? And I'd like for both of y'all to be here together with me for a few minutes. And he said, okay, I'll call her. He heard the doctor say that. So, and it wasn't but about a half hour she was there. I said, I'm going to show y'all a scripture. And I showed him these scriptures we just went through. I said, now, this boy is laying here with cancer because you two, mom and daddy, have got an unforgiveness toward each other. You're not walking in love like God commands. God gave us one command, didn't he? Love. Is that what he said? That's the only thing he gave us, love. He didn't tell us to do nothing else, just love. Love our neighbor, love him, love our neighbor as ourselves. And he said, in this it fulfills all the law and the prophets to walk in love. So the mother come down, and when I told her what the problem was, I said, because of y'all's unforgiveness, that's why your son is being attacked by these demons. And I said, they're killing him. And I said, if I guarantee you two that if you two will both repent to God right now and say, Lord, I'm sorry. We forgive each other. We will love each other. We'll live together as a husband and wife. I said, if you two will make God that promise, I will pray for this boy. And I guarantee you the king I serve will heal this boy. Wow. They repented. And they first told me, sir, we don't think you can guarantee that. I said, I can. I can. I guarantee. It's what the word says. And so they both repented to God, and they came back together and hugged each other and kissed and made up. And I walked over and I started to lay my hands on the cover of the little boy. And the doctor, I was going to move the cover back so I could lay hands on his skin, because the Lord says in his word. In fact, let me show you that verse, Mark 16, 17 and 18. I want you to see this, Mark 16, 17 and 18. These promises are all over God's word. Look what he says in Mark 16. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, there's only one thing in the church today. There's not enough believing believers. We need people to believe the promises of God, because I'm reading this to you right out of God's word. and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, the name of Jesus, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up the serpent, Satan, and if he drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Isn't that awesome? So they repented. I went over and started to pull the cover back, and the doctor said, you cannot do that at this point. I've just given him a chemo treatment. I said, well, how about if I just lay my hands on the cover on the outside? Would that be okay? He said, you can touch the cover, but you can't touch the boy. I said, okay. I said, God fully understands that. So I laid my hands on the cover. I said, Satan, you have lost this boy because his mother and daddy have repented. So you have no more legal claim to this boy. You have to go. It is written, I can cast you out. Is that what he said?
Yes, sir.
So I command you, spirits of hell, to leave this boy in the name of Jesus. I said, now, Father, I got both hands on him, and that's what you told me to do. I commanded those spirits to go, and I speak to him, and I said, now, sir, your boy will fully recover. I guarantee it. And I walked off and left him. The next afternoon, that young man called me and says, Thurman, he said, you won't believe this. He said, yeah, you will believe this too. But he said, we have just been released from the hospital. There's not a cancer cell in my 15-year-old son's body. Now, first of all, when they got into their unbelief, who was it that sent the demon to the boy, according to the Word of God?
God
did. Is that what it said?
That's what it said.
The Father sent the demon to you if you're the one in unforgiveness. And he can not only send it to you, but he can send it to your children. And that's I have seen him do that many times. I have seen many a husband down with terminal cancer because the mother or the wife had an unforgiveness toward a friend. And one of the things we've learned about breast cancer, which is so awesome, we've learned that every time a woman has breast cancer, she has unforgiveness toward someone. Now then, my wife, Cheryl, has even isolated this in the last 10 years. She has really isolated this down. She really pays close attention. I just always said, when a woman comes and say, I got breast cancer, I said, well, you got an unforgiveness. And I said, who against? And they said, well, my mother or my sister or a friend or the woman my husband had an affair with or whoever. You know, I've seen everything in the world, but I never put it together. Cheryl put it together. She started saying, honey, do you notice that every time the woman has an unforgiveness toward a female member of the family, the breast cancer is always in her left breast? I said, well, I never noticed that. And she said, if it's just an acquaintance, it's always in her right breast. I said, wow. I said, honey, I never noticed that. She said, well, I pay attention. She takes notes about everything. She writes down everything. Thank God for a good woman. She said, so now that we've isolated this down, and so that's why we have got so many hundreds and hundreds of women healed. We almost have a 100% success rate with breast cancer in women. And Jesus don't charge any of those women nothing. We ain't never had to have one of them have a breast taken off. We ain't never even had to have one that had to go in for surgery if they do what we tell them. Now, some of them can't do that. You know, I will have to say, Ida's not here today. Her and her husband's not here today. But Ida, when she came down with breast cancer, we realized she had an unforgiveness toward a female member in the family. And when she got that taken care of, I told her, I said, now then I can pray for you and it'll go away. Well, I prayed for her and then I said, it's done. And of course, her husband, Ferris, he says, now see, he'd been raised a Baptist like I had been. I said, it's done, Ferris. All you got to do now, just go praise the Lord. Your wife is healed. Thurman, it can't be that simple. I said, but Ferris, it is. He said, look, all you did was tell us a couple of things. She repented, and then you prayed, and you're telling me my wife is healed? I said, well, yes, that's what the Word says, so it's done. He said, well, he said, no. He said, I already got it set up for an appointment for surgery Thursday. He said, we're going to go have surgery. I said, well, you know, you're the priest of the home. I can't go over your authority. So they go in, and they cut into her breast, and there ain't nothing there. No knots, no lumps, no cancer cell. She's totally, completely healed. Well, they sew her up. When they get through with her, now then her arm, you know, after you have surgery, you know what happens to the skin? It don't flex like it used to. And so now she can raise her arm about this high. Well, they were sitting right here in church when they come back a couple, 2 or 3 weeks later, and they were both crying. And at first said, "Oh, Thurman, I'm so sorry. Oh, God, God." He said, "Lord, I'm so sorry." He said, "Thurman told me there was going to be nothing there." After she repented, but so he said, "Lord, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life. Never." So he said, "Lord, will you please forgive me?" And I just sat and said, "Yes, Lord, will you please forgive both of us? We need to be forgiven for our unbelief." And they were both crying, and I just reached over the seat, and I said, I believe that Jesus loves you so much that he's going to forgive you. And I laid my hand on that woman, and I said, "Lord, restore her completely, 100% in the name of Jesus." I said, "Now, Ida, raise your hand up." She said, "What?" I said, "Yeah," and that's exactly what she did. That's exactly what Rosemary did. She raised her hand up. And to this day, she still comes out and helps us, volunteers, and does all kinds of stuff and stuff. Because that woman, I talked to her just last week. She was here. And boy, she said, "My arm still works perfect." And she's so grateful to the Lord. Amen. Now then, I want to show you one more verse, and then we're going to quit. I want to take you to James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And this is where most people get hit. When they look at what God's... All the time as we're teaching, did we teach you that God is a faith God? That he requires you to believe with no doubt in your heart? Is that what he said nearly everywhere we were at?
Yes.
Well, did you ever see a place in there anywhere where he said you can doubt just a little?
No.
No, not never. So look what he says here in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. So if you come and ask the Lord to heal you, let him ask how?
In faith.
In faith. How much wavering?
Wavering.
No wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man or woman think that he or she shall receive anything from the Lord. Some people said, "God would not do me like that." Oh, yes, he will. I mean, if he put that in that book, he'll do exactly what he said. That's why when I told Dee Dee, like I've told Weston, like I've told all kinds of people, Dave, in fact, when Dave come to me almost a year after we've been praying for him for nearly a year, I remember that Sunday over in Dallas, we still had the church over there then. Dave had a pair of loose breeches on, a loose shirt, and he walked up to me, and he had sores and running sores all over his body, and he walked up like this in pain. He looked me right now, and he said, "Pastor, it doesn't appear to be working." I said, "Dave, repent." I said, "God's word never fails. The only thing that makes his word fail is you." I said, "Now you got to repent and stop talking like that, or you ain't never going to get healed." And he looked at me and said, "Pastor, you would never pass your pastoral care class." I said, "I don't care if I pass a pastoral care class or not. I want to get you healed."
Amen.
And I know what you got to do, and you got to do it God's way. And if you do it God's way, I said, I guarantee you he'll heal you. Well, we continued, and I told him, I said, "Okay, Dave." He said, "Well, what do I do?" I said, "I want you to start taking some of these promises. You take them home, and you start quoting them. Put them on a CD or something. Listen to them night and day. Let the Word of God be flowing into your brain." And for those of you that don't know, we've got just recently, Jeff has put us a whole CD together back there of the healing scriptures. I mean, a whole CD. I mean, an hour and a half. I guess, how long is that thing, Jeff, you know? 45 minutes, okay. I listened to it the other day, and I thought, what does it say, just healing scriptures?
Yeah.
Okay, it's right back there on the table. We've just made it, Def made it, and listen to that thing. Listen to it when you're driving down the road in your car. Listen to these promises, and then when you go to bed at night, put you a CD player. The right side of your brain never sleeps. It hears 24/7. So don't, you know, just say, "Well, I'm going to bed, I can't hear anything." No, Weston Blair, the man that had terminal cancer that's not here today, that's completely healed for the last several years, Weston said he got those scriptures, he put them together, and when he put them together, he listened to them night and day for the next year or year and a half. And in a year and a half, when he went back down to MD Anderson for them to check him, and when he went down there, I told him, I said, "Weston, if you go down there at stage 4, they're going to want to start giving you chemo." I said, "If you start taking chemo, and if you keep taking the chemo, chances are you will die." But I said, "If you will trust God completely after you repent of your sins," I said, "if you'll trust him and him only, I guarantee you he'll heal you." And so Weston went down and they checked him, told him he had stage 4, they needed chemo immediately. And he says, "No, I'm going to trust Jesus." And he started listening to the scriptures. And he went back in 6 months. They couldn't believe how those things were shrunk. A year later, total year later, when Weston went down there, one of these world-renowned doctors at MD Anderson told him, said, Weston, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, you need to patent it and bottle it, because he said, I guarantee it'll sell. He said, because what you've been doing, you are completely cancer-free without a single mark, no medication, no doctors, no chemo, no radiation, just Jesus. And that's been 5 or 6 years ago, and Weston Blair is still completely healed today. Wow. But did Jesus say in his word, when you come to me and ask me for healing, how much doubt can you have? That's pretty tough, isn't it? But after all, here's a way to look at this, Wendy. Who is he? Who is he? Is he your God? He's mine too. He's awesome. He's such an awesome God. In fact, everybody else in here almost knows this, but you don't know this because first time you've ever been here. Last year, I got this hand hung in a spring on a big overhead door. It tore this hand all to pieces. I mean, it just ripped that bone showing, everything just tore it up. I come home and my wife, she said, what do you want me to do? I said, I want you to put some, what do you call that? Hydrogen peroxide to wash it out good. And then I want you to put some bandages around it. I'm going back to work. And I did that. And in 1 week, these bottom three fingers were completely healed. And in one more week, this top finger was healed. I want you to look at my hand that was tore all to pieces, that didn't have a stitch put in it. Look what kind of work the King did on that hand. You see, when you trust Him, what He'll do? He's an awesome God. And the reason I'm telling you all these things, honey, I don't even know you before today, but I want you to be healed. That's what I'm all about here in this church, is to get all these people that and many of them, of course, have been healed. I didn't even call out. But that's what I do. I teach people from God's Word how to get healed. And we see many, many, many men and women get healed. And that's why God has given me all this, you know, because I love seeing people get healed. Just like Weston Blair, whenever they said, you're going to die if you don't take chemo and radiation. And he said, I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to listen to the Word of God. Well, today, last Sunday, Weston was here. And he told us, he said, we won't be here for 4 Sundays. We're going to California to visit a month with our children. And so he said, we won't be back for a month. But he did exactly what I told him to do from God's Word. And God did exactly what He said He would do. When we have no doubt in our heart, Amen. God heals us. Amen. Isn't that something? Amen. He's such a wonderful God. Amen. And like I told you, when you first came in, when I first started talking to you, I said, faith is the hardest thing in the world. Amen. Because we don't have enough of the Word in us. Right. See, if you've been studying those scriptures as long as I've been studying them, you get your hand tore all to pieces, you ain't no problem. I don't need no stitches. Just, honey, just fix it up. I'm going back to work. Jesus will heal it. I know what He can do. I know what He will do when I trust Him 100%. And like I say, He put that hand back together. You can't even find a scar on it. Isn't that awesome? But He'll do the same thing for you as He done for Dave and He's done for all these others.